15. We are in our series to kind of start the year. Our theme for the year is Arise. That's what the Lord kind of just stirred in my spirit, and it's amazing. It's just kind of through the fall, I just kind of felt like that's what he kept saying, and that's what he kept saying. And when I said that's what we're going to do, and literally said make the banners and let's get things rolling, I began to get confirmations from all over the place, people who had no idea. And it was just, this is what God is saying to us. And I believe that. And so arise, the definition of arise is to get up, to come into being, to originate. And I feel like that is what God is saying to us as a church. And so to start this year, we're going to take the word arise and we're going to break it down and we're going to tackle a letter a week. And last week was A, and we talked about being awake. We talked about waking up spiritually. We can't just sleepwalk with God. We've got to be awake. We've got to be in tune with what's going on. To arise, you need to be awake, to be spiritually present so that we can be and do what God has called us to be and what God has called us to do. So we spiritual people, and all of us, I think, are spiritual people. We're spiritual people, not by nature, but by spirituality we are, aren't always present in the moments that we live. We can get stuck in a rut. We can kind of get and hit the cruise control button. Any cruise control fans here? You're just driving, you just hit the button, and you don't have to worry about it. You just lean back and just two fingers on the wheel or drive with your knee. You know, and I think sometimes spiritually we can do the same thing. We can say, all right, I love Jesus, we're good, cruise control. And I think God has more for us than just the cruise control in our spiritual life. We've got to be not just spiritually awake, but we have to be spiritually present, not stuck in a rut, not getting lulled to sleep, not drifting away from the moments and the opportunities of our lives that God brings us to grow and to experience Him in a new way, in a deeper way, and in a greater way. And so sometimes we talked about this last week, the wake-up call. We wake up this morning, I use my phone as my alarm, and I hit snooze, I don't know, 3-4 times, probably. Yeah, I mean, I was tired. And so, you know, it kind of hit it, and it gives me 8 minutes, and it hit it, and it gives me 8 minutes. So finally, I kind of pick it up, and I think, this thing's great. My wife comes in the room, she's like, your alarm is annoying. And I kind of thought that was the point, though. I mean, if your alarm was awesome, you wouldn't get up. When I was in college, I had an alarm clock that didn't buzz or knock that obnoxious noise. It would go like this. Bong, bong, bong. And one night, I dreamed I was at a wedding, and bells were going off, and it was so happy and joyous, and it was just fantastic. And all of a sudden, I wake up, and I had slept through my class, and my alarm clock, bong, bong. Listen, we need things to wake us up. You get a wake-up call. Sometimes we get a wake-up call physically. You get a call from the doctor, or a doctor appointment doesn't go the way you planned. You thought you were going to pop in and pop out, cruise control. And all of a sudden the doctor says, listen, we've got to talk more about this. And it stirs you. Sometimes you get a wake-up call relationally. You're just kind of on cruise control. You're going through life. You think everything's good and everything's great and everything's wonderful and everything's fine. And all of a sudden something happens and you go, whoa. Everything's not okay. Everything's not good. And you had to wake up to the situation. We sometimes have, you know, near-death experiences. You hear people talk about this thing. It was a wake-up call for their life. And things that cause our eyes to open, and in the moment we see clearly. In the moment you just say, this is broken, we've got to do something, let's get to it. But the thing is this, if you don't make changes in the moment, if you just take a step and say, oh, we've had a wake-up call, but you don't start the journey of becoming, we end up kind of getting lulled back into the same old routine, the same old way of doing things, the old way of thinking, back to normalcy. And so we have to awaken. Now, Paul told the church in Ephesians this. He was talking to a church, not to the unsaved. Talking to people who were spiritual people. Talking to people who had their lives and yet walked with God. And he told them, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light, and he challenged us last week to walk wisely, to make wise decisions consistently, to live spiritually aware and spiritually present, to watch out for things in life that could cause the person that God has called you to be to slowly disappear or to be lessened, or things that could lead us into foolishness. But rather, he said, be filled with the Spirit. Love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so that's kind of a little bit of what we talked about last week. I just want to give that to you because we're building off of that onto our second letter today, which is letter R, which stands for refocus. Not only do we need to wake up, but we have to refocus our lives. We need to remember who we are and whose we are. And you look at your neighbor and say that. Say, I need to remember who I am. And I look at your other neighbor and say, I need to remember whose I am. You see, we are God's. And as I remember whose I am, it brings a lot of clarity into who I am. And with clear identity comes clear direction. God, what do you want me to do? Well, if you don't know who you are and whose you are, you're not ready for what he wants you to do. But as you understand, I am God's. And as you understand that God, and I love this, whenever we do real life, this is the thing that I want people to grasp. God has given everyone gifting. God has given everyone a spiritual gift. God has given everyone a personality. And here's the beautiful thing. Not all of them are the same, and they don't need to be. But here's the key. God has given you the gifting and the personality that you need to fully and completely obey him. You say, well, I'm not gifted like them. God may have something else different for them. God might call them to something different than God's going to call you. But God has given you everything you need to be obedient to him. God has given you everything you need to be completely fulfilling of what God desires for your life. God's not going to set you up to fail. God's not a government program. He's God. He's going to give you everything you need to succeed, but we have got to refocus. Now, when I was younger, our family did a lot of work with foster care. Most of my life growing up, we had foster kids that lived with us, and I just loved it. I absolutely loved it. The very first foster child we ever had, her name was Barbara Allen, and she lived with us for 3 or 4 years. And one day we were in the house, and I don't know what we were doing, just goofing off. And I pointed out something across the room, and she turned and she looked, and she does like this. And I said, Barbara, can you see that? And she says, well, I see it, but it's really fuzzy. And I told my parents, I said, listen, we were talking, we were in the room, and I pointed something across the room, and she looked, and she made this weird face, and it wasn't her normal weird face, it was a different weird face. And she, you know, she squinted, and I said, she might need glasses. And so they said, all right, well, we'll go, and we'll get her tested, we'll go to your check. They took her in to get her eyes checked, and they discovered that her eyes were horrible. They were horrible. She could not see hardly at all. They got her glasses. We drove home from this thing. We all get out of the car. We're getting our stuff together. We're going into the house, and she is just standing in the yard. She has tears going down her face, and she says this, I see leaves. And we said, what? She said, I see individual leaves. I said, Barbara, duh, you know, they've been there the whole... She goes, before, all I saw when I looked at a tree was just a blob shape. She said, I never saw leaves before. Listen to me, we need in our life to refocus. She didn't realize how out of focus her eyes were until she saw it in focus. And sometimes this very thing happens to you and I in life. We don't know how blind we are until we see something clearly. We convince ourselves that this makes sense until something happens and we look and go, man, that was not real smart. Why was I doing that? Why was I thinking about that? Why was I functioning like that? So you have this idea that we need to refocus, and then we come to Luke 15, which is a brilliant, beautiful portion of Scripture, and it's got three great parables in it. The first is a story about a shepherd who had 100 sheep, and one night he's putting them away, and as he's putting them away, he's just counting 1, 2, and 3, and he gets all the way up, and 98, 99, and one is not there. And this shepherd, loving his sheep, made sure that the 99 were secure. And then he went out into the darkness, and he went out into the countryside, and he searched and he looked until he found this poor lost sheep. He picks it up, and Scripture says he puts it on his shoulders. He brings it home, and then he tells all the friends, hey, everybody, celebrate with me that the sheep that was lost is now found, and everyone celebrates with him. The next story is of a woman who had 10 pieces of silver. She's counting them, 7, 8, 9, and realizes that one is missing. Scripture says that she lights a candle. She brings light to the situation. She gets the broom. She sweeps out. Listen, not only do we need God's light, but we need to clean up. She cleans up the house. She searches until she finds the lost coin. She looks diligently until she finds it, and then she rejoices. And then we have our third parable that's going to be our text this morning. I want to read that to you. Luke 15, starting at verse 11. It says, to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So the father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this is very shortly after he got the blessing, okay? The young son packed all of his belongings, moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the field to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. And so he returned to his father, and while he was still a long way off, the father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, kissed him. His son said to the father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer to be worthy to be called your son. But his father said to his servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf that we've been fattening. We have to celebrate with a feast. For the son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. And I love this. And so the party began. It's God's word for us. Each story has a common thread through it. Something was lost, and now it's found. Each story unique to itself in the way that it plays out. The story of the shepherd and the sheep, the story of the woman with the lost coin. Each of them realized that something was missing. They went out, they looked for it until it was found. And the message of those two is that God loves all of us. God loves all of us. God loves everybody. I don't care if it's 99 to 1 or 10 to 1. God loves all of us, and we need to celebrate that today and rejoice in that today. God desires all to be found, all to be healed, all to be made whole. But the story of the prodigal son, the message is that it's not just that God loves all, but it's that God loves you. Because in this story, it's one-to-one. A son left. I'm getting some feedback. And God loves everyone. And the thing is this, when we talk about God loving everyone, that's easy for us to kind of feel, because we talk about this kind of stuff in church all the time. God loves missions, and God loves your neighbor, and God just loves everybody. And we talk about it all the time enough that sometimes it may lose its potency. It's kind of like grace. Grace is this amazing, powerful, life-changing thing that you can talk about so much that it kind of just becomes an assumed thing. Now, God does love everybody. But here's the thing. Sometimes it's tough for us to really settle in our spirit that God loves me. Because I see my failures. I see every shortcoming. I see every attitude of my heart that may not be right and may not line up. Does God love everybody? Yeah. God loves everybody. He's God, and God loves everybody. Does God love you? I think. And we can wrestle with that son. The prodigal son, the son comes to the father and he says, listen, I want everything that's coming to me. Traditionally, in that time, they would wait until the father had passed, and then these things would be divided to the sons. While what he did was legal, it was kind of rude. And he went and he said, I want what's mine. I want what's coming to me. And so the father gives him his portion. And just a couple of days later, the son takes off to live the life that he's always wanted to live. And he's discovered what many of you have discovered in your journey in life. When you've got money and things are going great, there's lots of friends. And when things aren't going well, friends just kind of disappear, don't they? People just kind of distance themselves. People just aren't around like they used to be. And, I'm busy. Or, we're growing different circles now. And that's what it, but we all know what it is. He finds himself alone. He finds himself broke, working a job, feeding pigs. And things got so bad that in the story, it says he desired to eat the food that he was giving the pigs. So while the shepherd and the sheep went out and looked, while the woman with the coin lit a light and looked, in the story of the prodigal son, the father didn't go look for his son. There's no search party. There's no police report. There's no missing person poster. There's no face and description on a milk carton. Nothing. Maybe it's because the sheep and the coin were lost and the son just left. The father didn't go look for his son. Instead, what he did was he waited and he watched. That's hard. See, the thing is that when we live out of focus, things are not what we think they are. When we live out of focus, things are not what we think we are. See, this son who thought he was going to gain his independence, he's going to come out from under the father who tried to control and tried to force his hand at things. I'm going to get out from under my dad. I'm going to go live the life that I think I deserve to live. He thought he was being independent, but he was just being selfish. He thought he was being clever and smarter than everybody else, but it ended up just being foolishness. He thought that life, a type of life was his right, but it was just unloving and it was careless and he wasted it all. And that's what prodigal means, to spend money or resource recklessly. The son had something of value, he had something that was precious, and he squandered it away. Can I ask you a personal question this morning? You ever been careless with something precious? You ever had a relationship you didn't value like you should have? You ever had a job you should have valued maybe a little more? Squandered something that was far greater in value than you recognized at the time, and then all of a sudden something happens and you realize it now, but you didn't realize it then. Father could have gone and gotten him. He had the means. He had the resource. He could have found him. He could have said, son, you're coming home. I'm not going to have any son of mine living in a pig pen and wanting to eat pig food, and that's it. You're going to come back. We haven't changed your room. You're going to go to your room, and you're going to act right. Father could have done that, but you know what? He could have dragged him home. He could have put a better set of clothes on him. He could have put a ring on his finger. He could have just put him right back where he left, and the son's heart never would have changed. I heard a story of a father who was going to go on a trip with his daughter. She was young, 5, 6 years old. And they got into the car, and she was standing on the seat. And he said, sweetheart, you got to sit down so we buckle you in. And she said, I don't want to sit down. I want to stand. And he said, but sweetheart, I can't drive until you're in your seatbelt. You need to sit down. And she said, no. And so the father reached over and he took his daughter and he set her on the seat. And he reached over and he took the seatbelt and he clicked it on. And she kind of fiddled for a minute, couldn't get out. He started the car and he began this journey. And the little girl looked over him and said, my body may be sitting down, but my heart is standing up. You can't make someone change. You can make them act different. But you can't change the heart. And God wouldn't change a heart that doesn't want to be changed, because God is too authentic for that. God's too real for that. Revelation 3:20, look, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice, open the door. I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. John 6:44, no one can draw me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. But the thing is, we have to have a moment of refocus. We have to have a moment that we're willing and open to God to show us things differently than we've seen them before. Spiritually, physically, emotionally, whatever way you want to apply this, the things that we do because we think it will be good and we think it will help us and we think it will solve the problem, it makes sense when we look at it, but some things in our lives only make sense until you see it differently, and then it doesn't make any sense, does it? The prodigal son is feeding pigs. The food that he's given to pigs starts to look good to him. He has this moment of refocus. He has this moment that his eyes are open, this moment that he sees the situation and he sees his life differently. Luke 15:17, and I love this. When he finally came to his senses, other translations say when he came to himself. Listen to me, the key to maturity is knowing God and knowing yourself. Knowing whose you are and knowing who you are. It's the foundation by which we grow. It's the foundation by which we become, knowing whose we are, knowing who you are. If you only learn of God, if all you look at is God, 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 then you know what you're going to do? You're going to be filled with pride, spiritual pride, and your soul's not going to grow, and it's going to be paralyzed to a place and paralyzed to a moment, because you, when you feel you know about God, you're going to feel pride, and you're going to feel better than everybody else. And if you feel better than everybody else, let me tell you something, you're not going to grow. And if all you do is look at yourself, you know what you're going to see? Your sin, your struggle, your failure. We're going to get down on ourselves. We're going to say, I'll never change. I try, but I'll never can get, I can't bite my tongue, and I treat people wrong, and that's just the way it's always going to be. And you will live a life that's paralyzed at well right at that spot. We have to see God and know God, and we have to know our own hearts. We have to come to our senses and see the Father and see ourselves. Finally, I love that word when it says, and when he finally, you know what the implication there is? God has been talking the whole time. God is faithful. God doesn't ever give up on the son that you think is lost. God doesn't ever give up on the situation that you think is dead. God doesn't ever give up. Finally, the Lord has been faithful to knock. The Spirit has been faithful to speak. And sometimes it doesn't make sense until it does. Does that make any sense? You and I have to have a refocused moment. And in that moment, everything changed. A solution was discovered. A way out was found. It wasn't easy, but it was clear. prior to this way, the way he saw his father and his home. Dad was wealthy. The son had rights. He wanted what was his. He didn't want to play by the house rules. He wanted his independence. He wanted to live his own life. But after the moment, after his refocus, you hear him talk. For the first time, he talks about the goodness of the father and the blessing of the home. When he lived there, all the things he took for granted, he saw clearly. He realized how good things were until they were gone, or didn't realize how good things were until they were gone. And he said this, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here, I'm dying of hunger. You see, his father provided a sense of belonging, a covering, a provision for those in the household, but he had never seen it like that before. He had to hit rock bottom. He had to get hungry. He had to become so broke and so poor that he was ready to eat the pig's food before he came to a sense, before he came to a place of refocus. And that is why the father, though he loved his son, had to wait. And so the father watched, and the father waited. You see, when the son had his moment of refocus, one of the things that he did, and I love this, was the son owned his stuff. And I'm going to tell you something. This is such a critical part of the story. The son owned his stuff. When you read the passage, he doesn't blame his father. He doesn't blame his older brother. He doesn't blame his friends. He's not angry with God. He doesn't feel like anyone owes him anything. He owns the fact that it was his choices that led him to the pig pen. It was his choices that got him to the place there where he was, that people can leave, you know, and he owned his thing. And I wish this would carry over to the church, because sometimes people leave churches for some of the most ridiculous reasons. It's absurd. I mean, honestly, some people would be ashamed of themselves. And I missed a day and no one called. Are you four? I mean, what in the world? Well, somebody looked at me funny. Maybe that's just their face. I wanted to do something. They said no. Maybe it was a bad idea. Why does God leave me here to struggle? Why don't people like me? We leave for the silliest of reasons. We leave for the most ridiculous of things. And here's the thing. The prodigal son could have done what so many could have, you know, do. He could have stayed right where he was in the pig pen, in need, in hunger, in sin, all the while blaming someone else for why he wasn't back home with his family. He could have said, if my father loved me, he would have looked for me. If my brother loved me, he would have come and looked for me. Why didn't they come and get me out of this mess? If they loved me, if they cared, they would have. And that spirit still says somebody owes me something. I grew up in the country and we had pigs. Not a lot. We had a couple of them. And when I was young, I've always loved to hunt my whole life. And I had a BB gun when I was very young. And you can just imagine. Some of you who know me, I thank God my mom's not bald and in a home somewhere. And I was out shooting my BB gun one day. I was just shooting things. And my father had guineas. I don't know who knows what a guinea is. All right, guineas, this little funky-looking bird. And they get a group of them, and they're supposed to keep snakes and bugs out of your yard or something. I don't know. He had some weird reason for it. But he loved these guineas. And I'm out in the yard shooting my BB gun. And the guineas kind of come around the corner of the house. And remember earlier when I said things make sense until they don't make sense? In my mind, and I still remember this. In my mind, it came around the corner, and I can remember thinking, I wonder how close I can come to hitting them without actually hitting them. Now, at the time, it made sense. And so I go, and a guinea goes, plunk. And it just fell over. I mean, it was, and in that moment, can I tell you, I had a refocus moment. And all of a sudden, I'm standing there and going, I'm dead. I am dead. I mean, like, my father's going to kill me, raise me up in prayer, and kill me again. I mean, he loves his guineas. And I knew I was in trouble. And so I went over, and that thing's laying there, and it's kind of, you know, it's all, I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, I'm praying, Listen, man, I'm ready to baptize this thing if it's going to bring it back to life. And I take this guinea, and I, you know, you start convincing yourselves of things that are ridiculous. And I take this guinea, and I thought, it's going to be fine. Listen, I've crashed my bike before. I heal. It will heal, you know. And so I just need to put this thing somewhere that nothing's going to get to it. And another made a lot of sense in my mind before. And I go out to our pig pen. We just had this big old barn, and I took the guinea, and I put it in the corner of the pig pen. And I thought, it's just going to be here, and it's going to be fine. And then I close the door, and I go back home. I put my BB gun away, and I was an angel the rest of the time. Mom, can I help with dishes? Mom, can I, you know, what's wrong with you? She's thinking, what did you do? My father comes home, and I don't even wait for him to get into the house. I'm, like, standing at the door. I'm like, hey, Dad, hey, I think I was shooting my BB gun earlier today, and I think maybe I might have nicked one of the guineas. And, you know, any of you dads or kids, if you've ever had that moment with your father or a parent, you just kind of get the, where he goes, where is it? And I said, well, I put it in the pig pen. He said, you did what? And we go out there. I open the door. There are feathers everywhere. Everywhere. The guinea is completely gone. You know, from the frying pan to the fire. Anybody with me? We're sitting, all the pigs are rooting around. There's one pig sitting over in the corner. He's kind of leaning back. He's picking his teeth with a toothpick. He just looks at me and he goes, I love chicken. It wasn't chicken. It was a guinea. And he's like, I don't really care. You know, listen to me. Pigs will eat anything. Hear my heart when I tell you this. If you stay in the pig pen long enough, it will consume you. Please hear what I'm saying to you. If you stay in the pig pen long enough, it will consume you. As long as you in your life have someone else to blame, as long as you think somebody owes you something, as long as you fail to take responsibility for your actions and your attitudes, you will stay in that pig pen. And if you stay there long enough, it will consume you. Until you come to your senses and recognize that you're responsible to act. The father didn't want his son to leave. He didn't approve of him going and wasting his life and wasting this precious thing that he had given him. But he didn't and couldn't force him to stay. He didn't go and tear his son out of that faraway country and force him to come home. Certainly he wanted him to come home. He was waiting, watching for him to come home. He wanted his lost son found. He wanted his dead son alive again. But the prodigal son had to come to his senses. He had to get on his own two feet, and he had to walk home himself. Luke 15:18 in the New King James, and I love the wording. Look at this. I will what? That's what God's saying to us. I will arise and go to my Father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. I will arise. I will get up. I will come into being. I will originate. He remembers in this moment whose he is and who he is. Listen, we got to refocus in our lives. We've got to be honest with ourselves, honest to our families, and honest with God. The prodigal son was home. He wanted his independence. In a faraway country, he called it pleasure. When he lost it all and then the famine hit, he called it bad luck. But when he reached the bottom of the pig pen, he finally called it what it was. He said it was sin. And until he did that, he wasn't ready to change. A man cannot do something with full effort unless he believes it with full conviction. A man cannot do something with full effort unless he believes it in full conviction. Luke 15:20 says, he returned home to the father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion. He ran to his son, he embraced him and kissed him. You see, the father that waited, the father that watched, got to be the father who ran, and the father who loved, and the father who restored. Father, I've sinned against you, both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But a father said to him, servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house, put it on him, get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for the son of mine was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. And so the party began. Listen, this morning, do you need to refocus? Do you need to refocus? Do you need to refocus your life? Do you have a relationship you need to refocus? Do you have an attitude you need to refocus? The way you see something, the way that you're looking at something that you kind of look and you've taken it for granted? Because when you do refocus, you're going to discover the thing that the Son did. And I close with this. The goodness of the Father is greater than the sinfulness of the Son. It always has been, and it always will be. Let's arise. Let's wake up. Let's refocus. Let's come out of the pig pen and come home to the Father and be rebuilt and renewed and restored. Because he's not there angry. He's there waiting. He's there watching, and he wants to come and run and love and rebuild, restore your life. Hallelujah. That's the word of the Lord this morning. Can I get you to bow your heads this morning? Listen, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you through this message? What is the Holy Spirit saying? I realize things make sense until they don't. I realize that. I realize that some may be here, and you know what? You're in the pig pen, but you're not ready yet. You're not ready yet. You're still looking at independence. You're still looking at pleasure. And you're still looking at, oh, it's just bad luck. It's just bad luck. The Father is waiting, and the Father is watching for you to come home. Do you need to refocus in an area of your life? Are there things of great value that you're not treating like they're of great value? You have a spouse you're not honoring the way God calls you to honor. Do you have children maybe that maybe, listen, and I'm not trying to make anybody feel like a bad parent. Sometimes we get tired and stressed and run down and just maybe we're not being the parent God called us to be. Maybe financially, you're just doing whatever you want, whenever you want, and as long as the card goes through, it must be God's will. That's crazy thinking. Do you need to refocus your life? Do you need to step back and remember whose you are and who you are? And you need to know something. If you this morning kind of have your eyes open, if you this morning kind of feel the Holy Spirit speaking to you, standing at the door and knocking or drawing you, and you say, I think God might be talking to me, and I'm going to step out of this pig pen. I've got to own my stuff. I can't blame everybody else. I can't blame all my hurts and wounds. I can't blame all the people of my past. Not that they're not real, and not that they aren't wounding or hurtful. I by no means am trying to make your pain small. But what I am saying is don't let your pain keep you in the pig pen. Own your stuff. Own your life. And when you step out of it, there's a couple things you need to know. One, not everybody is going to celebrate for you. When you make the life change, when you realize what I was doing and I thought made sense doesn't make sense and I need to do something else, not everyone's going to get all excited about that. This prodigal son had an older brother. And you know what? You read the rest of the story and the older brother hears this commotion. He hears all the racket. He sees the fatted calf being killed. And he's saying, what's going on? I said, your younger brother's back home. And he gets upset. And you know what? Physically, can't we understand that a little bit? My younger brother took the money and ran. He hurt my father. He damaged our home. When he left, all the work he did fell on me. And I stayed and I worked and I did what was necessary. And I stood by my father. He physically, even for the most part, did all of the right things. But that's what religion does. He missed the greatest thing. He missed his heart. And his heart had a horrible attitude. The father looked at him and said, "My son who was lost is found. He was dead and now he's alive. Can't you celebrate with me in that?" Not everyone is going to celebrate you taking a step out of the pig pen. But you know who will? The family of God. The Father has lots of servants that he provides for and he cares for. Lots of people who once were lost and now are found, were blind, but now they see. And so this morning you're in good company. Come home. Refocus. Ask God to help you see things differently so that you don't squander them and waste them and lose them. So do you know whose you are? Do you know this morning that you are God's? Do you know this morning who you are? How God has created you, how God has shaped you, how God has made you? If not, don't just take a step, start a journey. Be faithful to the gathering of the church together. Be faithful on Wednesday night. Get in a small group. Begin this journey of learning who he is and learning to understand who you are. Because it will refocus your life. And I'm telling you, when you see things differently, you can do things differently. And when you do things differently, you bear a different fruit. Some of you have loved ones that are not serving the Lord right now. Some of you have loved ones that are away from the way that you see is right and the way that you see, and say, "Pastor, what do I do and how do I do?" Listen, wait and watch. Pray and fast. And believe until it is time to run and love and restore. If you go and pull them out too soon, you hinder what God is trying to teach them. You have to wait for the heart to change. You have to wait for the moment of refocus. Some of you that are here might be the ones that someone's waiting for. The Father's been waiting. And you're living out of focus in some ways in your life, and it's time to arise. It's time to come home. Father, there's no one who loves us like you love us. There's just no one who loves us like you love us. So fully and completely and perfectly, and your love is perfect. And you know when it's time to watch and wait, and you know when it's time to run and love and restore. Thank you. And I pray, God, this morning that for all that are gathered here, if we're the one waiting on somebody or we're the one being waited on, I pray for our lost family, God. I pray for prodigal sons and prodigal daughters and prodigal moms and prodigal dads. And I pray for people who, God, are living their life and it makes sense to them the way they're doing it. It makes sense, God. And it's just, and nothing we're going to say or do can change that until they have a moment with you where they see it different, where they refocus. And so, God, help us not be weary in well-doing. Help us continue to be faithful to watch and to pray and to wait and to fast and to shake heaven. Don't let our hearts grow hard, God. And I pray that in 2016 will be a year that we see the prodigal come home again. And God, when they do, let us not have an attitude like the older brother. Let's not look at what it's going to cost us and it's not fair. But God, may we run and love and restore in Jesus' name. Father, may you help us all. If we're the spouse that's being waited on, if we're the son or daughter that's being waited on, if we're the friend or the neighbor or the co-worker that's being waited on, I pray, oh God, the God who still calms the winds and the waves, open our eyes so that we can see. Open our eyes to the pig pen that we are in. Let our hearts be right, because God, I don't want to blame everybody else. Because when I blame everybody, when I pointed other fingers, when I'm mad at my parents or economics or society or all the things that we do to blame everybody else, when I'm doing that, my heart's not ready to change. Help me to own my stuff. Because then and only then I get out of the pig pen, God. Help us come home. We are yours. We are sons and daughters of a living King. That's who as we are. And you are God of everything. Holy Spirit, move, I pray, in Jesus' name. If you're here and you need to come and you need to take a moment, I'm going to open up our altars. I'm going to invite you to come. Some already have. If you don't want to wait, you don't need to wait. Our altars are always open. If you need to come and refocus, if you need to come, just take a minute and say, God, if you feel like maybe you're in a place and you've just been looking at your life and saying, oh, it's bad luck, it's bad luck, it's bad luck. Listen, something greater may be at work. Maybe this morning you're opening your eyes and you're in the pig pen and you see it clearly. Don't wait. Don't stay. Don't linger. Come and let God set you free. And refocus your life.